Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome in to the Denver Sports Pod, presented by Breckenridge Brewery Seltzies. Find them at the DNVR bar. Delicious right now. At a watch party, you want to stay hydrated, you want to stay engaged. Perfect combo for you. I am joined by my guys, my draft guys. And if I sound excited, it's not because we're live on a show. It's because these are two of the sweetest, most wonderful days of the year for me. I just get to bask. People. Oh, right. That would have made sense, Henry. That would have made sense. No, it's the 48 hours, not the people I'm with, that make all the difference here. Yeah, man, I'm pretty hyped. How are you guys?
I'm hyped. I was a little more hyped, man. When you were saying all those nice things about me that turned out to be about the days. But I'll get over it and we'll have some fun.
Finally get Justin? To find out where Trey McBride's going, right? I mean, this has been a thing I've been talking about now for like 8 months. So I'm excited to see it all come to fruition, see where he ends up. There's some late hype for him to potentially go in the first round, which is awesome. He had a lot of preseason and I would say even early and midseason hype to go in the first round. Then it kind of faded. We'll see. DraftKings has it at plus 450. We'll talk about that later, but I'm looking forward to all of it. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the Broncos. And I think more than anything, I'm just looking forward to not having the stress of needing a quarterback in a very weird year.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I feel like kind of like what you were saying, there's the reports are there's like 15 to 18 guys, depending on which team you ask, that they have first round grades on. And, you know, then there's like Trey McBride's probably just outside that, but there's 40 other guys who are just outside that as well. So you could see Trey McBride be like the 20th pick. You could see him slide. And that's true of all those guys. And I think that's what's going to make this draft so fun is that it's just going to be chaos.
Yeah, it does feel like the most unpredictable draft we've had in a while, especially with this top three. Lots more hype about Trayvon Walker going first overall, maybe Derek Stingley Jr. going third overall. When the top three is unpredictable, I mean, everything's up for grabs. But let's back this up as we talk to our TDSP audience. Hello, everyone. We're here to talk about the draft. These are our college guys. They are amazing. Who are some of your guys in this draft class that really stand out that you kind of feel are maybe being underrated, or you've just been on that bandwagon from day one?
I think, we've for a couple of years now been on Devin Lloyd, the linebacker from Utah. It's like on the draft pod, we haven't talked about him quite so much recently just because he's in that weird range where the Broncos just can't get his hands on or get their hands on him. But on top of that, like we talked about him so much in the past. But he still is to me one of the most exciting players in the draft class. I'm actually so Carson Wells from Colorado, he had a great game against Utah a year ago. And so I'm halfway through rewatching that. But going back through and watching Devin Lloyd play in that game too, it's crazy. I mean that guy just flies around. They're playing him on slot receivers and he's covering those guys up. He's laying out Brendan Lewis. There's a lot of exciting plays, and I still think number one on that list has to be Devin Lloyd.
Draft pod darling, right? I mean, we were talking about Devin Lloyd having top 10 talent a year and a half ago, long before anybody got stoked about him. He's not going to go top 10 just because positional value and how that all plays out. But I mean, if you're talking about guys that you just want to, I want to put my name on him and bank that he's going to pan out. Devin Lloyd is definitely near the top for all of us. Trey McBride, obviously. I mean, I've talked about him ad nauseum. We don't really need to go into that. We can go into it later, but just a really reliable pass catcher. Hey, shout out to my guy, Tyler Johnson. Much love, buddy. Much love indeed. Chad Muma of Wyoming, though, another linebacker. Kills me to say it as a CSU guy, but just really rangy, great pass bridge. Not really a thumper or anything like that. When you watch him, you know, you don't expect him to go out and kill guys, but a reliable tackler and a guy that, in my opinion, made a Wyoming defense look much better than maybe the rest of the talent on the field actually was. But yeah, he's a local guy too, Colorado high school. I've drawn a blank on which one, otherwise I would have named it. But Colorado kid, love that, and love a local guy doing well.
Hank, any other guys that you've kind of put your stamp of approval or you're standing on the table for?
I mean, there's a lot of them. I mean, we could go with Drake London here.
Yeah.
Drake London's going to be insane. We saw what he did to Colorado and to everybody else as well. 6'5" receiver. He's also playing on USC's basketball team out there. 11 catches per game before he broke his ankle, but that's all healed up now. That's just a crazy play style for somebody who's that big, like for your jump ball type of receiver to have that kind of
width. Go watch the CU game.
He does everything. He just does everything. And I think he's another one. He's probably the first receiver off the board. I'm not sure what the odds say right now, but I'd imagine he is. That's a top 10 pick. And that's just a freak of an athlete.
Yeah. Getting hyped over USC players that ball out at Folsom is actually a tradition as old as time for DNVR. It's Drake London is just the next guy in line. And we just got to keep that.
You could
tradition rolling
too.
yes, absolutely. That too would be one of your guys. You can see both of the fellas here, big time college allegiances, to the point that you're almost spoiling segment two, where I wanted to talk local, the best prospects you got to see live. You know, hold your horses, fellas.
That's true.
Devin Lloyd,
well, we can get into some guys that are going to go early. I was thinking more just in terms of like guys I love, but also guys that might be in the picture for Denver, which is obviously not the case with Devin Lloyd, but that is the case with Chad Muma. But if you want to get into like Jameson Williams, obviously he's hurt, but I mean, that guy has the potential to be a Tyreek Hill type burner. I think Mechie's going to be really good too. I know he got hurt late in the process, but those Bama guys, more times than not, they pan out. And I'm hoping we finally get a revival year for Jerry Jeudy, by the way, now that he has a real quarterback, real offense, all that fun stuff. The Bama guys, the Georgia guys, I mean, Jordan Davis is insane. I know people, I know like defensive tackle isn't necessarily the sexiest position in the world, but I don't know why people aren't freaking out about this guy, because we've seen when you have a true game breaker like Aaron Donald, and I'm not calling him Aaron Donald, when you have a guy though that can just consistently create penetration, consistently open up lanes for those linebackers, he's a pretty good tackler as well. I don't understand why people aren't freaking out over this dude. He's massive. and he moves like a freight train. I love him.
I mean, a Shaquille O'Neal type presence that you could imagine for the NFL. Jordan Davis, really spectacular. And yeah, Mike Trout, they should draft some JMU players. Maybe Henry can tell us more as our FCS expert. I love that, though, from you, Justin. I do feel like that is kind of a big theme of this draft, is a big, what was a big theme of last year in college football, is the dominance of Georgia's defense, an almost historic defense. And we'll have a lot of guys on that defensive front that'll kind of set the tone for what this draft will look like early on, but will also be like high-end targets for the Broncos from day two on, whether it's a guy that I love, like Zamir White, a really physical back, with now having signed Melvin Gordon, as Tyler mentions, might be off the board. But Zamir White, a guy who you could find late in day three, very talented, but, you know, a little raw because he was splitting carries with James Cook. Great receiving back who would really complement a guy like Javonte Williams,
by the way. Yeah.
Right, who we really like. And we're talking Georgia offensive guys, you know, and on the defensive side, I think especially at linebacker, there are a few targets that the Broncos should have their eyes on. Quay Walker, a guy who's been very hyped, not one of my guys, I think an overhyped guy, and luckily might be going higher than Denver will be able to pick. But Channing Tindall is a guy that I love. Just a freak athlete who's just a hammer downhill. And all these Georgia guys were in heavy rotation because it was such a talented defense, to where you might have a top 20 pick like Jermaine Johnson, who had to transfer out of there. And you have star linebackers like Tindale who weren't even playing like, you know, clear cut starters because guys like Mecobe Dean and Quay Walker were ahead of them. And then I love that you mentioned those Alabama wide receivers, which the one loss Georgia had, those two dudes were healthy and showed what a difference NFL high-end caliber wide receivers make in the modern game. And just staying on the Georgia train, Jamari Salier is another of my guys, the left tackle for UGA, who could profile as a beast at guard. You know, you might not be able to get those top dancing bears at 64. A guy like Salier, tone setter, might be very intriguing. But I kind of moved over to the Broncos. Feel free to throw out more of your guys. But, you know,
with Lewis Cine, the Georgia safety, just because we're on the topic of Georgia guys and potential Denver targets. Because I do think, you know, Kareem Jackson, he's getting up there. Obviously, you have Justin Simmons, but that's going to be a position that I think is, you know, potentially in the mix for Denver in the second, third round, depending on how all this falls out. Probably not going to see a safety go until late in the first round. So it depends on kind of if they're, you know, if you have a run on, or Kyle Hamilton, I guess, my bad. So you'll have a second safety go late in the first round. I was thinking Dax Hill, but I don't know. Like, I like seeing a lot, but again, I do think he benefited from playing with probably the best front seven college football has ever seen.
That's a great point. And Hank, you are a visionary for this. And it used to be at pro days, you would call out all the BS pro day 40s. But Lewis Cine is one of these guys who no one expected a 4.3 from this dude. So his stock's kind of been elevated. I frankly love him and think he's like the top safety outside of Kyle Hamilton in this draft. I put him ahead of Daxton Hill. So I don't think he'll be in the range for Denver, but I'd like to hear what Hank thinks on that.
Yeah, I mean, I like him. I would still take Daxton Hill first just because, like, just what he does in the slot. Like, I think it's so easy to see him.
Versatility.
Yeah, I think there's a real chance that he's not even a safety in the future. He turns out to be just like a slot cornerback who is one of the best. And I guess early downs, you might put him back there or something. But, I mean, Cine is really good, too. I mean, he's a hitter. He can do that sort of stuff. I think there was a really big hit in that college football playoff at one point.
Yeah.
But that's where I thought he really jumped out was mm-hmm. in those playoff games.
Exactly.
And again, and with so many so many good defenders from this Georgia defense, it's tough to figure out who is good and who's kind of like riding the coattails a little bit.
It's crazy. Yes.
But the guys who are doing it on the big stage at the end of the year, I feel like that's who you got to bank on. And the same thing with Pickens in there too, on the offensive side of the ball.
And I mean, Justin, wouldn't he be like a, like stylistically, he feels like he'd be a perfect Kareem Jackson replacement.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is he's exactly what you need based on the way this secondary is currently built. You have PS2, you know, Sertan is your number one corner of the future. You know, you have your deep roaming guy that's going to play the pass and Simmons. You need a guy that can kind of come up and play that Kareem Jackson role, and Seen could do it. He feels very Kareem Jackson-esque. I wouldn't say he has the same coverage skills like Kareem's a guy. Maybe not so much at this stage of his career, but because he played corner, like, you know, you could throw Kareem on Travis Kelce at certain points of his career. Again, I wouldn't do it these days, but I don't know if Seen has that ability, but I believe in him as a run stopper. And I think with Denver in particular, he'd be intriguing. Would you consider trading up for him if he was sitting there at, like, I don't know, late 40s or early 50s?
I wouldn't. George Payton doesn't seem like a trade up kind of guy. And I totally agree with him. Yeah. Like, I just think that there's going to be a good player at 64. Honestly, I think trading down is more likely than trading up still.
Yeah. Agreed. And that's where we lead to the biggest needs. And you can actually find these on DraftKings Sportsbook. Broncos exact position of first player drafted. The favorite, so the shortest odds, is defensive lineman slash edge. So it's many positions combined, plus 275. Linebacker plus 300. I threw out the Georgia guy, saw Alexander in the comments, threw out Leo Chenault from Wisconsin, which is a great pick. Justin already talked about Chad Muma. Defensive back, which we were just talking about, plus 350. And then O-line plus 400. Aside from the DraftKings Sportsbook odds, what are you guys seeing as the biggest needs right now for the Broncos on the board? And, you know, I wonder what running back was yesterday, because now it's plus 3,000 after Melvin Gordon got signed. Hank, start us off. If you're George Payton, how are you playing this draft out? What are you looking at, man?
First of all, I think the odds are kind of right on. I think at this point, running back, you're set, right? You can kind of throw that out, unless you're going out and getting like a sixth, seventh round guy who, and at that point, you're deciding you are carrying four running backs this season, despite having two that should be starters and one. So we'll see how that all plays out. But next year, you might want to have one of those guys to replace Melvin, to replace Boone even. But yeah, that's kind of out of the picture at this point, I think. Defensive lineman slash edge, I think that's a good bet, just because you have Drake Jackson kind of stands out there. Like, that, again, fits the Randy Gregory mold. And if that's the type of player that Peyton's after, then it could line up. I do think a couple of those guys are off the board before then, though. Like, Nick Benito's probably not there. Linebacker, I think just because of how everything plays out, that's a good bet, too. You saw Leo Chenault in the comments, but also Troy Anderson could go there. Chad Muma, we talked about, could go there. So that seems like kind of a hot spot. Defensive back, it's to me more like edge, where there's probably one left in that tier, but you're probably like McCreary's probably gone from Auburn. So you're kind of toward the end of the defensive back range, but lineman's the other one. If I had to bet, I'd take offensive lineman plus 400, just because there are more tackles there. Abe Lucas stands out. Nick Pettit-Frere. There's been a lot of hype about him the last couple of days, potentially being a first round pick, which is what we were saying before the season, but played Aiden Hutchinson. So offensive lineman plus 400, gotcha. Linebacker plus 300. Those are good bets, I think.
What's you, Jamie?
Hank and I had very similar needs, and we've had these conversations a million times, so that makes sense. But I have edge as number one. I still just think Bradley Chubb's health is a big concern. Malik Reed at times as well. And again, they don't have either of those guys locked down long-term. I think there's some intriguing options. Again, I think Hank nailed it. I don't see guy like Benito being there, another guy that we talked about. But I do think somebody like Myjai Sanders from Cincinnati there, potentially David Ajabo if he just like free falls, but I think he's probably an early second round pick even with the injury just because his ceiling's so high. But again, like that's a guy, if he was there, you could bring him in. Doesn't even matter that he's not going to play this year. You're just banking on the future. A defensive tackle after trading Shelby Harris, you know, maybe somebody like DeMarvin Leal of Texas A&M or Logan Hall of Houston. I don't know. I mean, I like some of these linebackers. Channing Tindall of Georgia, we talked about him. Troy Anderson's a freak athlete out of Montana State. I really enjoyed watching Troy Anderson on film. I watched a lot of Montana State just because their defensive coordinator came over to CSU, and he's a dude that just stands out. But then, you know, you wonder, is it just because it's a, you know, freak athlete on the field with, you know, FCS players? Would he be standing out in the same way if it was even, you know, like the Big 12, for instance?
Yeah,
I think he's that good, but I do think you have to worry about how it translates, especially given he's only been playing linebacker for what is like 2 years now, Hank. I mean, he played quarterback, he played all over the place. I like the potential of a guy that's seen the field like that. So I'm excited about a lot of those guys. If the Broncos couldn't get Trey at tight end, which I don't think they can, I like Cade Otton of Washington. There's some Dulcich hype out of UCLA, but I don't really love him. I don't know. There's a lot of intriguing options in the second round.
Tight end plus 900 is kind of intriguing there.
Just for the value, I don't think they'll do it because I just think whether it's corner or linebacker or edge or tackle, all those positions we just talked about, it makes so much more sense. Even receiver, just given that it's such a deep position group, somebody could slide and you're just like, oh, well, I mean, why wouldn't we take Christian Watkins here at this point? Because for some reason he fell, but I don't know. I think the defense is the much more likely scenario, potentially, you know, trading down and stockpiling and trying to land even more of these guys late in the second, early third, just really going heavy day two and day three.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I mean, that's the thing about 64, hard to predict, and you got to kind of play the board. It's not so much like at 9 where you can have more philosophical discussions over, no, they need to go quarterback or they need to, you know, whatever. It's just, hey, 64 into round 2, you got to go with what you got. What you got right now is an all-time great moment in Denver sports. Justin Hank, spring game reports, Rams, Buffs, getting you ready for college football. We've got draft stuff going on left and right. Live shows galore. We'll be recapping it all summer long and doing all sorts of other stuff. You've got Avs playoffs about to start. Nuggets playoffs, we're in the mix. DNVR bar popping. Become a DNVR member. Go to thednvr.com. Become part of the family and get it all. You saw the new Bones shirt. You saw the new, you know, let's rid 3 shirt. Well, go to dmvrlocker.com, buy one of those, or just become a member and get yourself one of those sweet puppies for freezies. And speaking of sweet puppies, I leave the floor to Justin and our good friends at Manscaped.
Yeah, I mean, the Bones shirt is fire. It's the best out there, and Manscaped is also the best out there. They're the worldwide leader in men's below-the-waist grooming. Protect your family jewels. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. You can get 20% off right now. All you got to do is go to manscaped.com, and depending on which show you want to support, you can use a variety of different codes. I'm going to be a cool guy, and I'm going to throw both of our codes out there, Rams20 or Buffs. Support either of us. Again, that's at manscaped.com. I'm going to say mine one more time, Rams20. The other one, you know, I already said it. The Performance Package 4.0 has arrived, and it's a game changer. This thing is sweet. We don't need to talk about it too much, but I will say I feel like it's a lot smoother than the 3.0. I like that it is intense. Comes with the weed whacker, which is great for your ears and nose. I am 26 years old, almost 27. Guys, I'm starting to get nose hairs. It's disappointing. Yes. It's Yeah, it's only going to go downhill from here. But I know that my friends over at Manscaped are hooking me up with the nose trimmer. I love it. And it's super easy. The nice thing about Manscaped products, you know, it's nice for dumb dudes like me that can just plug it in. You charge it up, you use it, you're good to go. It's waterproof. It's got a 4K LED spotlight. I mean, what more do I need to say? Go to manscaped.com. Get 20% off plus free shipping when you use the code RAMS20 or BUFFS at manscaped.com. Go do it now. Again, 100% waterproof. You can just make yourself ready for summer. I mean, guys, it's getting hot out there. I don't need to explain how that one works. It's hot. You want to be nice and clean. Use the crop preserver, the ball reviver. They got everything you need for ball hygiene, for keeping your boys nice and trim. Manscaped.com, Rams20, or BUFFS.
There was real passion and depth in that read. That was outstanding. And he added to his own
products. I don't want to get too personal, but like I'm telling you, I do recommend all of these products. They're great.
That's why you said the razor is smooth and not anything else is smooth, right?
Yeah. That's
right. Well, something else is smooth after you use the product. But again,
there you go. DraftKings Sportsbook.
DraftKings Sportsbook, always the king, number one. I do feel this is a unique opportunity of the year with the draft to really get in on these props, be savvy, be smart, and nail them all. Got a piece coming up about some of our favorite draft props. Excited about that. And yeah, right now, new users at sign up can get in on the official sports betting partner of the NBA. Bet $5 to win $50 in free bets.
Get one.
$150. I can't read. I'm exhausted from my draft prep. But it's phenomenal. You can just it's a gajillion opportunities that you can find on DraftKings Sportsbook. Yaya, could you hit me with a disclaimer, please?
Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code DNVR when you sign up. New users can place a bet of $5 on first round action. Get up to $150 in free bets instantly. That means no matter the outcome, you are going to get $150 in free bets. That's what DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
There goes my hero. Watch him as he goes. That's how I felt as Justin took over there and did that. Phenomenal stuff. So, Justin, Hank, you guys aren't just draft analysts, but you are journalists who cover the Rams, the Buffs. It's your full-time job, your boots on the ground at all times. So I want to make this segment all about you and the teams you cover and the opponents you've been able to see from a draft perspective. Justin gets to start because he clearly has the most high-ranking profile prospect locally with Trey McBride, of course. What's the buzz for Trey around Fort Collins these days, Justin? What are you looking at? And yeah, then I'd love to hear who the best prospects you got to see live over the years are that are draft eligible on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, everybody's stoked for Trey. Leading into his pro day, there was a lot of anticipation, a lot of buildup, what type of 40 he was going to run. Ended up running a 4.55. I was really funny. I mean, he ran it on his first attempt and, you know, he announced he wasn't going to run again after that. And all the NFL scouts were like, we're good. Like, literally don't give us a reason to not love you. We saw what we needed to see. At this point, it's, you know, is he going to be a first round pick or not? And DraftKings has that at +450. He's the overwhelming favorite to be the first tight end off the board at -450. I there's some smoke lately. PFT, Benjamin Albright as well, have both been talking about the Bengals being really interested in him at 31. So maybe he goes in the first round. That would be epic. Just really cool for the program, obviously. A John Mackey Award winner, best tight end in the country, first ever at CSU, second national award winner. I mean, that's huge, you know, especially given how brutal the last couple of years is. He's just one of those guys that meant a lot to the program. And now he's going to be a guy that, you know, no matter where he goes, you're going to see a lot of those jerseys in Fort Collins, very similarly to, you know, Josh Allen. And I mean, Wyoming has just adopted the Buffalo Bills. It's so weird. Mm-hmm. Like, you go up there now and Broncos games aren't even on. It's Bills games. It's bars paying like extra money to get the Bills games. Kind of cool, kind of weird, but Trey's awesome. I've rambled a lot on him, so I'll move on. But some of the best guys that I got to see CSU go up against, most of them, they really tore up Miami's, but that's okay. Starting quarterback Carson Strong, who just put on a show.
Yeah,
Broncos GM George Payton was in attendance for that. At some points, I wondered, you know, maybe he would take a flyer on Carson's arm. Now that they got Russell Wilson, doesn't really make a lot of sense. But look, Carson, you got some questions about his mobility. You got some questions about his health with, you know, a couple of knee injuries in his career. But he's got, in my opinion, probably the best just like raw arm talent of anyone in this draft. There's a couple of guys that can really sling it. I mean, Malik Willis can throw the hell out of the football too. But his deep ball is very pretty. And seeing him and Romeo Dubs, wide receiver, who I like a lot as well in person, was a ton of fun. We already talked about Chad Muma, a really rangy linebacker. Right. I like him. Right. Defensive end Cameron Thomas of San Diego State. I think he plays on the inside. I see him kind of being more of like a Malik Jackson type role than like a defensive end, kind of making an impact on in the run game. But I really like him a lot, and he's a guy that could potentially be sitting there in the second round. Would love Denver to take a flyer on him. And then some other guys I'll just throw out real quick. Khalil Shakir, wide receiver of Boise State, really athletic, potentially like a day three steal for someone.
Yeah.
Cole Turner as well. Really tall guy. Just kind of a red zone threat. I'm not really sure what he is at the next level. He doesn't like move super well. His route running's kind of raw. But when you're 6'6 and athletic, you know, you can do some stuff with that. And then a South Dakota State running back, Pierre Strong Jr., and South Dakota State kicked the shit out of CSU in person. So they kind of set the tone for what that year was going to be. But I really was impressed by Pierre Strong. And it was interesting to see as the year went on, people really hyping him up. And it made me feel a little bit at ease. Like, well, at least this is like a legit NFL running back that ran it down their throats. But getting embarrassed by an FCS team at home, never a good look.
I'd forgot all about that South Dakota State game. You got to see some studs, Justin. You got to see some studs.
A lot of really good guys.
Yeah. Hank, you're not going to have the Trey McBride stuff to talk about, but I do think, at least with Carson Wells, you do have an intriguing guy on that draft bubble who should, at least during preseason, you know, be able to fight for a spot in the NFL. And those are always like cool stories to follow.
Yeah, right now, minimum, there's three guys who should be on training camp rosters at the very least. I think Nate and Carson, it's really tough to say what's going to happen to them during the actual draft. I think, obviously, with Nate Landman, middle linebacker, he has a bunch of Josie Jewell vibes, to kind of put it into perspective for all the Broncos fans here. Just incredibly smart player, and he's a sure tackler. The way he gets off blocks is incredible. I mean, he started to contribute quite a bit in the passing game. I just went back through the Texas A&M game this morning. In that game, they just had him play the middle of the field, man across the board, safety deep behind him. And he's breaking up passes. He's in the right position. He's getting in the backfield on blitzes. So you probably don't draft him with the idea of him being a third down player. It's more that one first, second down thumper. But there is at least... There's a way to play him and be happy that you have him out there, have him as a productive pass defender. Again, injuries the last couple of years, and that's been the issue. The shoulder injury this year, the torn Achilles a year ago, and that's the reason why he's probably more of a draft bubble guy than a sure draft pick. And Carson Wells is just a total crapshoot at this point. He could be an early day three player. He could not be drafted.
That's so weird. I mean, I've seen like fourth round, and then like you said, and then I've seen people be like, how do you draft this guy? I mean, he's a great athlete. I would take a flyer on him in the fifth, sixth round. Why not?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, if you led the country in tackles for loss per game in 2020, I think he was second. No, he was sixth in sacks per game in the country. Again, it's six. I think he measured in 6'2 and 6'8, 6'8", 241 pounds, and ran a 4.56 40. So yeah, just like the level of athleticism is there. The production is there. It's like you said, just kind of a crapshoot at this point. I think that the X factor for him is that the coming out of the Buffs 3-4, he played a lot of that either just pure like nine technique, or in the slot as well. He spent a lot of time covering in the slot, especially back in 2020, his best season. Right. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's more of an off the ball linebacker in the NFL. If you wind up playing him in like either like just a 4-3 defense on the strong side would probably make some sense, or also in some sort of 3-4. I think there's a lot of versatility there, but crazy, just straight up X factor. And then Kari Kuch is the last guy who is in the conversations. He's the guard last year. He's been their best offensive lineman for a couple seasons now. Terrible offensive line though. And right, be blunt, like he was not coached well. And that makes it tougher to make this step. At the same time, I mean, the Buffs have had, I guess they didn't have an offensive lineman drafted last year. They had an offensive lineman drafted and Will Sherman the year before that. And then Arlington Hambright. Now that I think of it, 22. No, it wouldn't have been 21, 2020. So Will Sherman was last year and Hambright was the year before that. So this would be three straight years getting a lineman drafted. And I think Kari's been as productive as either one of those guys, probably. So we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah. Love that. It's nice to see that there are some guys in the mix on the Buff side. And then Hank, obviously Drake London. So you've met your Drake London quota. I know your check from the Pac-12 is in the mail. So that's, you know, everyone's happy there. Aside from Drake London, any other dudes that really stood out to you that you got to watch live part of your job this year?
The other Drake, Drake Jackson from USC. Mm. I mean, he was credited with two sacks. There was another tackle for loss in there, but on the other side of the ball, he wrecked that game. That's another freak. That could be a potential Broncos target in the second or third round. So he definitely stands out. Beyond that, Daniel Faalele, he's a big dude. Seeing him out there playing the Buffs, that's just a monster of a man. But you don't really need me to say that. Like, he's 400 pounds. Not sure. Yeah. I don't think the Broncos should take him. I'll say that. Doesn't fit the scheme, the zone blocking, all that.
But it's impressive to watch a man like that on a football field, huh?
Yeah. Kenyon Green, he had a good day. There were some battles between him and Carson, actually, in that game. But Kenyon Green, offensive lineman from Texas A&M, probably a guard, spent most of last season playing tackle, though. Probably going too soon for the Broncos, but if he did slip... It's just so hard to see them trading up for a guy you project on the interior. So that's not really a Broncos target. Isaiah Spiller in that same game, he couldn't do anything against the Buffs defense, except catch a game winning touchdown out of the backfield. So I guess you give him that. And then maybe that is what stands out about him is the receiving ability, and would have made him a nice compliment. Actually plays a lot like Melvin Gordon, but with Melvin coming back to the Broncos, there's just no way they're doing that.
And you were out in Utah. You saw Devin Lloyd, right?
Yeah, I saw him in 2019. He was doing some of the same things. But I haven't seen him in person since then. I guess no, I don't even think I saw him at Pac-12 Media Day. But I mean, he's a freak. Same thing with Kayvon Thibodeau. I saw him at Pac-12 Media Day. Again, you just look at him and you can tell that he's going to be a good NFL player, because how could you not when you just or a mountain like that with the muscles that he has. But I haven't seen him play. He didn't even play all that much when I saw him back in 2019 either.
Hmm. Boy, blessed lives you're living, fellas. Blessed lives. Nothing to say there. Mm-hmm. You guys have seen some real talent. Love getting that local update. And if you're trying to watch local sports on your TV these days, unfortunately not as easy as it should be, especially for Nuggets, Rapids and Avs fans. No disrespect to the Avs. I'm sorry I blank there. Henry here is going to tell you about Avoca TV, a phenomenal new product we are able to offer that is really going to eliminate this conundrum for all you local fans.
Yeah, Ivaka TV, which I wonder, Ivaka TV kind of sounds like evocative. I wonder if that's intentional.
I think so. I think so. I think so, Henry. You're a wordsmith and you nailed it. Good job. Yep.
Because there's no way that's like an acronym, Ivaka.
You're not going to slip some wordplay by my guy, Hank, okay? You thought you would, but you're not going to slip this one by him.
Ivaka is not an acronym. I don't know what that could possibly be. Unless we want to spend the next 30 seconds trying to figure out what the acronym could be.
We don't have that time, unfortunately.
Yeah, you can watch all the Colorado teams you love with Ivaka. They have Altitude Sports. They have AT&T Sportsnet. They've got, obviously, like a bunch of other channels as well, but here, those are the ones that we're looking for. The way it works is it's streaming and it plugs into your TV though. Come and they set everything up for you. It's like this hybrid cable type deal that how could we not want it? It's only $15 per month plus the receiver for the first 3 months if you sign up using the code DMVR. That's EVOCA, evoca.tv/DMVR. There's no contracts. There's no hidden fees. You get access to the Rams and the Pioneers and the Rapids and the Mammoth and the Avs and the Nuggets, especially right now when they're in the playoffs. So if you haven't looked into that yet, make sure you use that code DMVR because that knocks it down from $25 to $15 a month. Again, with that receiver, it's another $5 a month, or you can purchase it for $250 if you want. It's a great deal. There aren't many options for us out here right now, so make sure that you get in on that.
Boom. From my receiver to yours. Justin Michael, your life has changed because of this product and how you use it in the mornings.
Yeah, Athletics Greens, man. It's insane. I wanted to have better gut health, wanted to have an optimized immune system. I mean, over the last couple of years, really just been a little bit more health conscious when it comes to vitamins. My general health makes sense being in a pandemic and all that. I found Athletic Greens, and it's 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens. And what's awesome is it's just a special blend of ingredients, and it's going to boost your immune system, your energy, your recovery, focus, aging, pretty much all the things that you should be worried about. If you ask me, it's lifestyle friendly. So if you're keto, or paleo, or vegan-free, or dairy-free, or gluten-free, you're good. Tons of people take some type of multivitamin. I don't like them because I don't like those big horse pills. They taste like chalk. I choke on them half the time. I throw this in some water, sometimes in my orange juice because it's got like a tropical flavor. It blends really nice. Big orange juice fan, just a side note. And what's awesome is it's cheap. You know, it costs you less than $3 a day. If you're investing in your health, that is money well spent. It's cheaper. And Hank's cold brew habit, and it has over 7,000 five-star reviews. Go check it out. I'm telling you right now is the time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with a convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into the summer. You know, your friends are going to be having parties. We got the playoffs. You don't want to be sick. You know, arm yourself as best as you can. Get yourself in the best possible shape. And what's really cool is Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you got to do is go to athleticgreens.com/rams or athleticgreens.com/buffs to support us. Wow. Go get hooked up, arm your immune system, take care of your daily nutritional insurance.
I think someday schools will go back to this footage of the Denver Sports Podcast presented by Breckenridge Brewery. Check out their Celsius, man. It's the perfect. We've got well stocked.
Hard sodas are fire, by the way. Just came out.
Boom. They will teach
so good.
Our give and take on these ad reads in school someday when they go back to watch this show. Also the chat is popping. Which equation gives you the biggest net positive are some of the questions that are being asked. Frankly, it's more highbrow stuff than anything the three of us could handle, but it's wonderful that the bright minds in the chat are taking that on. Perfect transition, because as a kind of innocent bystanders, we will have to live through a first round of the draft as Broncos aficionados and watch the rest of the AFC West battle it out and try to add picks. So the stakes are high. Once you have a veteran quarterback and you've got a championship window, the stakes are always high on the draft, on draft night. It doesn't matter what your team is doing. What matters, what everyone else is doing. Gauging the AFC West teams, who's got the most riding on this one, Big Hank?
That's a good question. I feel like it's got to be Kansas City. They have the most picks. They need to do the best with them.
It's a lot riding on it. Yep.
Yeah, this is kind of their one chance to add talent now that Mahomes' contract is kicking in. And so they can't screw it up. That's why, like, the Broncos are in a similar boat. You know, you don't have so much capital, and so you have to maximize what you have, and you're in this championship window too. But at the same time, when you just don't have as many picks as the Chiefs, there can't be nearly as much riding on it.
They have 9, though. 100%. It's not like they're the Raiders sitting there with 5 picks. It's just that the Chiefs with 12, they have so much draft capital, and so much of it is early. I mean, they've got 2 in the first round, 3 in the top 50, like 6 in the top 100 or something like that. So it's not just that they're going to be able to add, you know, like one key guy. It's they're potentially going to be able to add like 3-4. I'd be pretty surprised if they didn't make some type of trade up, just given that they're sitting there at 29 and 30. Whether they want to go add a DB or a receiver, both positions I think they should be targeting. You're probably going to have to trade up if you want one of those top, you know, 3, 4, 5 guys. So I think a trade up for Kansas City is very likely. But you're right, man. They got to get this one right, especially after moving Tyreek and like being and taking the draft capital and basically defaulting on the plan to not rebuild but reload and kind of shift the way you're doing things offensively. I mean, he was just such a big part of what made the Chiefs scary. Obviously, they still have Mahomes, but being able to get torched over the top at any point, that it changes the way you defend.
It completely revolutionizes the spacing of that offense. And I mean, wide receiver was already a need to me coming into this offseason, even had Tyreek Hill stayed, because you could see it last year. All of a sudden, you know, bracketing Hill and Kittle became more possible and realistic, because you didn't have Sammy Watkins eating outside, you know, and they had some real offensive line woes, which, you know, I think disrupted the timing of the offense enough where the subtractions at wide receiver, you know, just the whole math of that really kind of threw that passing offense off. So now the stakes are even higher, and it's going to be really interesting to see, do the Chiefs load up and value having more cheap assets and more swings at trying to add potential starters to your roster? Or, as you're saying, Justin, do they kind of go all in to add more of a premium player in that offense? Right now at DraftKings, their first player to be selected is overwhelmingly wide receiver at plus 120, D-line edge plus 300, O-line at plus 400 just with Orlando Brown Jr.'s contract being up, and he's another guy they're going to have to pay. But, I mean, it feels like all things are pointing at wide receiver. And Hank, fair to say, if there's a nightmare scenario in this draft for Broncos fans, it's Jameson Williams to the Chiefs.
I mean, Drake London probably scares me more, but I mean, he's got to be gone by then. Just if what he could do with Mahomes downfield would be insane. But yeah, I mean, any of those guys, I would not touch that receivers to take or choose to take a receiver at plus 120 though. I'll say that, especially just because they have back-to-back picks. So they're going to wind up. I would guess one of them is a receiver, but do you really want to be?
That's
like,
true. You could get screwed there just by default because they take him with the second pick.
Exactly.
That's good advice.
So if you wind up, like, unless you really think they're taking two receivers, there's a 50-50 chance they're going to put the card in whatever order. But I really don't think they move off those picks. Just, I mean, especially when we talk about the contracts, what you want is that fifth-year option. And the way that they are sliding in right there, that fifth-year option is so valuable, and just sneaking up into the end of that first round is they snag it, and whatever they are, 29 and 30. I really think that you just hold on with both of those, because they have holes. They have a hole at receiver. Even Travis Kelce is getting old. You probably wouldn't use a first round pick on his replacement, but you got to start patching things up there somewhere.
Oh, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Kansas City would kill me. It would absolutely kill me. It'd be great for him, and I would love it. And the chance to play with Mahomes and an Andy Reid offense. Like, I love everything about that for him. But for me, selfishly, individually, as a Broncos fan sitting in the stands with Chiefs fan relatives, like Trey McBride scoring against Denver would just be, I wouldn't even know what to do. I'd just sit there like emotionless and conflicted. Sorry, that's a complete side tangent that had nothing to do with any of this. But go ahead.
Yeah, but I mean, they're still short on pass rushers. They only have Frank Clark. I guess Chris Jones, but he's on the inside, so an edge would make sense. You could definitely patch up the linebackers, like the secondary without Tyrann Mathieu. Like, there's just so many places where they could add immediate help that, and holding onto those picks and just loading up on talent makes sense to me.
Do they have safety? I think it's one of that was what came out to me, just with Tyrann Mathieu no longer being in the picture.
Daxton
and
Hill.
Where they're at, because I think there's with Dax Hill sitting right there from Michigan. And I think there's a pretty, like, I like the depth of receiver and corner. I do think there are going to be some options day two, but I also think there's a pretty steep drop off after, you know, like the top four or five guys. And I just think with both position groups, you're not really going to get, like, you know, the Treylon Burks. You're not going to get Jameson Williams if you sit there at 29 and 30.
Yeah. I mean, but you go through Garrett Wilson, Drake London, Jameson Williams, Chris Olave, Treylon Burks. So those five are definitely up there at the top. But then, like, how much of a drop-off is Jahan Dotson? Like, Sky Moore, Christian Watson going to the Chiefs, like, those are good fits. Like, those fit what they try to do, even if maybe they aren't the same level of talent. And then, like, Pickens as well. Like, that's another one where if you've been doing well. So while you
gave in our mock was Pickens and Dax Hill, those are the two that we talked about. So I guess fair enough. You've convinced me that a trade up is not necessarily imminent, but I would still do it because I think if you have a chance to land one of those top five, especially given that you lost Tyreek, who is such a massive part of your offense, you need a guy that's for sure going to pan out. Not like, well, we like Christian Watkins. He runs really fast. He looks really good in his underwear. But as we've talked about on the draft pod, they just didn't throw a whole lot. Now you're counting on him to help make up for one of the best receivers. And I know they brought in Juju, but he can go make TikToks with Jackson Mahomes for all as far as I'm concerned. Like, you got to go get a legit receiver.
It's going to be one of the more fascinating things to follow during round one is what the Chiefs do, for sure. And I think they're at a really key point here. In what they, you know, like really tracking a course, a championship route in this phase of Mahomes' contract. And I gotta say, when I came up with this nightmare scenarios topic, I didn't think Drake London being mentioned as the like a Chiefs trade up target would give literal chills down my spine, but that is what happened. Any other nightmare scenarios that stand out to you? AFC West, other AFC contenders, because now you get to worry about all the AFC contenders, baby. I think one that really stands out to me is the Patriots being able to add Jameson Williams. Giving that speed element and giving a Bama wide receiver, though they didn't overlap to Mac Jones, feels quite terrifying. Mechie did, and I mean, maybe not nightmare scenario, but that definitely is a combo that scares you. Mike Trout in the comments saying, I just don't want the Chargers to draft defense. Any other nightmare scenarios that stand out to you guys? Hank, you had your hand up earlier.
Just like with the Chiefs stuff, if they package both those picks, they could probably go get a Kyle Hamilton, potentially Ahmad Gardner. I mean, that's got to be enough to get you into the top 10, I think, in this draft. And so really, there's just some of those names. If they wind up with Kayvon Thibodeau because he slips to, say, 8 and the Falcons want to trade down, they don't want to take a quarterback, they want to stock up on talent, that would scare me. I still think they should sit back there, but the Chiefs just adding the one of these like crazy talents would not be fun for me.
I didn't think about that. Thinking about them going in top 10, Atlanta'd be a potential target. You have maybe Seattle at 9, depending. I mean, there's some vibes that they're okay with at least rocking with Drew Lock for a year and kind of seeing what happens there. So that'd be worrisome. I'd say for the Chargers at 17, I think just with the way that this draft shapes up, it's going to annoy me if they're sitting there at 17 and they end up with like Devin Lloyd or just one of these truly elite defenders that's naturally going to slip, because I think Lloyd's probably in that like 16 to 25 range, even though he has top 10 talent. And another guy like Kobe Dean, like, you know, Jordan Davis, Jermaine Johnson, like they're just going to end up with an elite athlete, either defensively or like maybe one of those tackles slips or one of the corners or something. I don't
know.
They're just going to get lucky. It's frustrating knowing that they're there at 17, that they're just going to have somebody really talented kind of fall into their lap. Hopefully they'll charge it up though.
Yeah, I agree completely there. It's concerning. And I mean, Mike Trout puts it great. You don't want them to draft defense. Like, take Trevor Penning, and then I'll be happy to like unleash Randy Gregory and Bradley Chubb on this guy. It's the other scenarios that really concern you. Final prediction times, fellas. There's been all sorts of rumors swirling because it's just that time of year and that time of draft season that Trayvon Walker could be going 1 overall, Aiden Hutchinson 2 overall, and Derek Stingley Jr. 3 overall. That exact threesome would valued at plus 300 on DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one sportsbook in all the land. So final predictions, Justin, 1, 2, 3 exact order of this draft.
Oh man.
As we lose Hank. And then the Broncos say, will draft. Get ready. I know. I was like, boy, he's really standing still. No, it turns out the connection really just busted on us. So, yeah, really dialed in.
I'd say the Vegas line movement with Trayvon Walker the past couple of days is pretty significant, just because their intel seems to be that he is going to be the number one pick. Went from like in a scale of or a timeline of like 2 weeks, went from like plus 400 to minus 250. So it seems like he's going to be the guy. I'm putting him at 1. Then I think, you know, Aiden Hutchinson 2 at Michigan makes a lot of sense, although personally I would be very intrigued by Sauce Gardner. I get that Stingley is the hype. But at 3, I'm going to go Kayvon Thibodeau. I'm not going to go Stingley. He's raw. I've been up and down on him all the whole time. I do think he goes top 10, and I would be a little bit nervous. I'd be intrigued. Obviously that 2019 tape is just insane, but it's been a long time since we've seen Derek Stingley be, you know, the Derek Stingley, the guy that, you know, if he played even remotely close to 2019, he's in the conversation for like the number one overall pick. So I could totally see him going top 3. I like that prop. I don't think it goes out that way, but I like the value.
Love it. I think there's some realness to Stingley at 3. It's Trayvon Walker it's that Houston, convinces so it, me you know, less. Like, right. Well, and they've got another pick in the top 15. So the connections to players are all going to be a little murky. Who are they thinking of at 3? Who are they thinking of at 13? I think in their ideal scenario, they trade down from 3, move up from 13. You know, like they would much rather have 5 and 7 like the Giants do than 3 and 13 and kind of let things play out ahead of them. So I think this Hutchinson Walker is far from being written. I think this and with the O lineman in play, you know, I think
that's a good point. There's you know, a lot of Charles Cross, a lot of Ikwunu hype of late. I like Evan Neal. I think people have nitpicked him to death, and I get why people like Ikwunu, but
it's amazing.
I just I don't know. I when you see the way Evan Neal just completely road grades guys, especially on run block, he's not like the purest pass blocker I've ever seen. Like, you know, oh, this guy is locked down. But there's enough there that you're like, I think with the right coaching, he's going to be a really good tackle. This draft's so weird, man. Like, we're totally getting set up for like a weird trade, and then Sauce Gardner going number one, and everybody being like, "What the hell just happened?" And he's awesome. I would love that.
I don't exclude Malik Willis at two. I think the draft could be flipped on its head. And again, I mean, Jacksonville, I think to some extent, the coach and, you know, Doug Peterson is saying, let's go O-line and protect our franchise quarterback. So that's where the three guys you just mentioned, Cross, Aquan, and Neal come into play. I think the owners and, you know, the owner's son who more directly runs the team, I think they're leaning more Hutchinson, safe, marketable, easy, just set and forget. And I think the GM is leaning the higher upside guy in Walker. And so
who wins in this conversation? That's where it's going to get interesting.
Right.
Where would you personally, like, if you have the Jags pick, you're going number one, who are you making the pick?
I would go Hutchinson. I think he's the top prospect.
I would too, and that's what I did in the mock yesterday, just because I feel like you can't miss on him. And I feel the same way about Sauce, to be honest. Like, I get the Stingley hype, but I'm like, you have Gardner, who's just been done everything you want to see for three straight years, never allowed a touchdown in his career. Yeah. And I get that it's the upside versus, you know, floor versus ceiling debate, and I get all that. But, oh, Hank's back. Hank's back.
Hank's back. He did it.
He's gonna go one, two, three.
That's a good question. So
Justin,
number one.
Tell him yours, Justin. Tell him
Wait,
yours.
No. Okay. No spoilers.
We're crowdsourcing this. We wanna share our opinions and then you share yours with us.
Okay, that works.
Well, and it's a recap because I remember Thibodeau at three, and then it's Walker Hutch, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Reverse order was a choice there. Let's see. So Houston number one.
It's what I think it's going to be, not what I want it to be or what I would do.
Right. You can bet on me. So right now, all the rumors are Walker, Hutchinson, Stingley, 1, 2, 3. You can get that at +300 at DraftKings, Henry. I'm going to go off the reservation and say it's Hutchinson, Malik Willis, Stingley. That's what I
got. I love
like
that.
Gun to my head. If I have to predict right now, that's what I would say.
I still think they can take him right there. I would go
maybe.
Let's see. They're gonna screw it up. There's no way they just take Hutchinson. I'll probably go Walker one. Yeah. I'll buy the height.
Great. The odds favorite. Love it.
Then why'd you give me crap for doing that? I went Walker, Hutchinson.
I didn't give you crap. I gave Drake crap for saying 3-2-1.
Oh, I get you. I thought you were saying me flipping Hutchinson to Walker after the mock yesterday. I was like, it's what everyone's saying. All right, go ahead.
My number
dyslexia
two,
spikes sometimes.
I mean, Detroit, it's got to be Hutchinson. It's got to be. If he's there. So,
if
I mean,
he's
if
there,
I'm Walker first, I've got to go Hutchinson too. And then number three. I mean, what they should do is take Thibodeau. I don't think they do, though. I think they actually do take Stingley. I think that's how it plays out.
It's Houston, so, man. So it's all on the table.
You're going with the odds-on favorite. Love it. Walker, Hutchinson, Stingley.
Yeah. Is that the
favorite? +300 odds. That's the favorite. +300 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook. Get in on that. That's all the latest buzz right now. I love that. Love that. Okay. Final predictions. Who will the Broncos draft at 64? Or will they move up? Will they move down? Who's their first pick? I just want a name and scenario if you think it's through a trade up or trade down.
I'll say it's Troy Anderson.
There you go. Henry. Yes.
I think it is. RAS score, that's just a very George Payton pick. I think like you need either an edge or an inside linebacker. Because like if you take Troy Anderson, then Baron Browning probably goes outside. Then all of a sudden you have Gregory, Chubb, Cooper, Reed. That's plenty. So yeah, I think it's one of the it's either edge or linebacker. I'm gonna say Troy Anderson.
Love.
I'm going to go Cincinnati cornerback Kobe Bryant. I think he's a guy that could potentially be there. I think he is a step below some of those other top corners that we talked about, and obviously including his teammate, Sauce Gardner, Stingley, Elam, McDuffie, McCreary, some of those other guys that, you know, we really like. But I think his upside is there. He plays really physical. I like how he played in the playoff, especially. He was up for the moment. Talks a lot of trash. He's, you know, a guy with a personality, but I like that in a DB when he can back it up. And I think his athleticism, his physicality could really pair well, especially given that he's not going to have to be like the corner here in Denver. You know, he could be like your number two, your number three. And I think he brings you some versatility, kind of a lanky guy. So I like it.
Yeah, which is what he did in college. He was the number two to Sauce Gardner, your fave. So I'm going to Marvin Leal. I feel like D-line is strongly play. I could have gone Nick Bonito, too. And Nick Bonito, they could pull a Baron Browning on you where Nick Bonito can't play edge, can't play off ball. You might have an edge bet, but he's drafted as a linebacker. You might have a linebacker bet, and he's drafted as an edge. That's for betting people. That's a tricky one out there. This was the draft, the Denver Sports podcast presented by Breckenridge and Breck Seltzies. This was the draft pod takeover, however, lovely as always, fellas. As I said, my favorite time of year. So I'm glad we could share it together and tune into all the great stuff we've got on our network now until forever. We out.